We've been going through the book of Jonah for the last, 2 months, basically. And we've made it halfway through, which is the good news. And we're going to finish it next week, which is the other good news. So we're at the point of the story where the story changes. If you know anything about the story of Jonah, it's a story about a man who was called to go on a journey and to preach to these people that were the enemies of his people. And he decides instead to go the other way to Tarshish. And we've been talking about that throughout this time. And the first half of the book is the story of the ocean. It's the story of the sea. It's the story of the whale. It's the story of taking a boat the wrong direction. The second half of the book is the story of the desert. It's the story of going to Nineveh. It's the story of, next week as we'll see, sitting under this tree in the middle of a desert and cursing God, basically. And so this morning, it's sort of this hinge, and at the hinge of the book, it actually starts again. In fact, we'll look at this, and it actually literally is word for word. God comes to Jonah and says exactly the same thing that he said 2 chapters earlier, before the big fish and all the rest of the stuff entered into the story. So, Jonah chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. And Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, which is the traditional way of showing repentance. And he issued a proclamation and published it throughout Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn away from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. For who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them. And he did not do it. Father God, this morning as we read your word, and as we begin to think of what it is that is similar in our lives to Jonah's life, Father, I just pray that you would help us to hear you speak to us this morning. Father, may we not hear a story of a man who lived nearly 3,000 years ago, but may we hear the story of what you're doing in our lives. May we find those points of parallel. And Father God, I just pray that you would speak to us this morning as we open your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonah's at this interesting point where we pick up the story this morning. God has come and spoken to him, and Jonah is a professional listener to God and a professional speaker for God. And God has come to Jonah originally, as you remember, and said, "Go to Nineveh, which is the capital city of the empire that's crushing Israel." And Jonah says, "No, I don't think so." And he takes a boat to Tarshish, and we've looked at that over the last little while. But Jonah's been stormed upon, swallowed up, and spit out, and he has now got a fresh perspective on life. And he is willing to begin to maybe hear God afresh. And God comes to him and speaks to him. And God's call is on his life to do something. And I want to suggest, just as a spoiler alert to the sermon, is I think in many ways we can see ourselves in Jonah, and maybe in some ways we can see ourselves in Nineveh. So you figure out where you see yourself. But in the start of the book there in your notes, and there's notes in the middle of your bulletins there. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' And then the passage we read in Jonah chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. Almost word for word, not quite, but very, very close. But definitely the same message. That God is calling Jonah to go to this place and to do something. And I want to suggest to you that God is calling all of us to do something. God wants to enter into a relationship with us. So if you're here this morning and you're trying to figure out this God thing, you know, maybe you're here for someone else. Maybe you're here because you're searching. Maybe you're here because it's, you know, the only place out of the smoke. I don't know why you're here. But if this morning you're here and you haven't figured out this God thing, God is calling you to, you hear through the Ninevites where God is calling us. If this morning we have a relationship with God and we've begun to do that, I want to suggest that God is calling us to do something. And all of us are in that process of being called. And we're called to do something. And what we're called to do is to leave the God that we worship the most. And the God that we worship the most is the God of comfort. I think the idol of our day is comfort. We worship all kinds of things, but we worship them because they give us comfort. They make us feel good. And God is calling us to kind of, are you willing to consider hearing my voice, even if it means you have to leave your comfort? And that's going to be a question this morning. Jonah's first response, you remember the first time he hears this call, is he finds a ship going to the nicest place as far away as he can go from Nineveh. But this morning, Jonah's response, Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. In the first chapter, it says Jonah arose and took a boat to Tarshish to get away from the presence of the Lord. Now he's going according to the word of the Lord. And Nineveh was a exceedingly great city. It was 3 days' journey in breadth. No one has any idea what that means. It just means it's big, you know. And he began to go into the city a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And so here's kind of the pattern that I see there, is the first thing Jonah does is he gets up and goes. He arose. In other words, Jonah obeys God. Now here's the freaky thing in this book. So far in this book, as we've read it, everybody has obeyed God except Jonah. Everybody. He calls up a storm and the storm shows up. He calls up the sailors and the sailors show up. He calls up the fish and the fish shows up. He calls the Ninevites in a minute and they're going to show up. Only Jonah is the disobedient one. The one who's supposed to be the paid professional listener and obeyer of God is the one person in the story that doesn't obey God until now. And even now, he's not going to get it right. So you have to tune in next week to catch the end of the story. But even he is not going to get it fully right. But creation, non-God followers, everybody has obeyed God so far in this book. In fact, everybody does obey God in this book. Even a plant will grow up at God's command and die at God's command. Everybody except Jonah. And as the people of his day read that story and learned that story, that would have stood out. He not only gets up, he goes into the city. The last time he got up, but he went the wrong way. This time he gets up and he goes into the city. In other words, he doesn't stand on the outskirts of the city and just yell. He doesn't find a kind of a high spot and just yell over the city. He's not megaphone man kind of yelling at the city. He goes into the city and speaks to them. And thirdly, he calls out. Now, this is where I'm not going to follow Jonah blindly. He's led me on a few wrong trails already. So this is the part that I find the most interesting. God has called him, and the whole book has been about God calling him to go and speak to Nineveh. He finally gets to Nineveh 2.5 chapters in. He goes into the middle of the city, and he begins to speak to him. He's gone on this multi-week journey through the desert to even get there in the first place. And when he gets there and he gets the audience that he wants and he's in the middle of the city, he says 5 words. In the Hebrew, there's only 5 words there. And they're yet 40 days Nineveh overthrown. It's a long way to go to say five words. He could have tweeted that. That would have fit. I think it's under 140 characters. Now, he must have said more than that, but that's probably an accurate summary. I just kind of wonder, how would you have said that to the people? You know, I was always taught you start with, you know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And, you know, or at least something about the love of God. All he comes in and says, yeah, God's going to kill you, grind you into dust, destroy you, and everything will be good. And his message, I mean, it just makes John the Baptist look like Joel Osteen's positiveness. You know, it's just this pretty bleak and pretty short. So that was Jonah's response. Now, what was Nineveh's response? Well, Nineveh believed God. Sorry, did I mess you up? They call for a fast. They put on sackcloth. They put sackcloth on their animals. I mean, it's exaggeration probably for effect. It's a little bit of hyperbole. You know, we're not going to eat or drink. Well, you can only not drink for about 3 days, so you're not going to do that forever. But it is this. There is concrete signs of the Ninevites that they're going to humble themselves before God. And they're going to put on the sackcloth and ashes that are the traditional Middle Eastern way of showing that you are sorry and you're going to turn around. And the Ninevites go through a three-stage process as well. The first thing they do is they believe God. And again, it's a story where everyone obeys and believes God except for Jonah. And his preaching is this highly successful, huge, big rally. And they repent. And there's these outward signs of what's happening inwardly. And it's enacted prayer of confession, if you want. And so they believe God. Secondly, it says they'll turn from their sins. Now, how deep this went is questionable. I mean, there's just not a lot of history that says Nineveh changed at any point during this time, which is the 9th century, so 800 and something B.C. One of my favorite theologians says, you know, sometimes when you encounter God, it's a 180-degree turn. You encounter God going away from him, and you turn around like Jonah did, and you come back to him. But he also said sometimes it's a 360-degree spin. You have this encounter with God, and it's this amazing thing that turns you around, but you end up going the same direction you started. And it wears off somehow. And I think that's sort of what happened to the Ninevites. But at this point, they turn. And that word turn is used three different times in there. It's a necessary requirement. If you're looking for God this morning and God is calling you, you have to turn towards him. You have to stop running and start coming back. This morning, if you're feeling disconnected from God as a believer, maybe it's because you've turned from him in some ways. And you need to turn back. The Ninevites did everything right until they get to this third part of the thing here, where it is they hoped for forgiveness. And here is where their theology echoes ours, but it's wrong. And the king says, who knows, God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. And then you read it, and it says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil way, God did relent of all the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he didn't do it. But that is very carefully written. And there's a very small distinction in there which makes all the difference in the world. What the Ninevites said is, who knows, God may turn from his anger and his punishment and relent and turn from that fierce anger so that we won't punish. And we will not perish. Yet what the next verse says, it says, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented. See, they had this belief that God had turned his back on them. They had this belief that whatever they had done, God had just turned his back in judgment against them, and he just sent Jonah to tell them, you know, get prepared, the end is coming. And in hope upon hope, they said, well, who knows? Maybe God, maybe if we do all the right things, we can turn God back to facing us. Maybe if we do all the right things, we can make God forgive us. And yet what the text says is it wasn't God that had ever turned from them. It was they who had turned from God. And as soon as they turned back to God, God relented. God never had to turn because God had never turned away from them. And God never has to turn toward us because he has never turned away from us. Wherever you are in your life, wherever you are in your Christian life, your spiritual life, your non-spiritual life, wherever you are, God has not turned his back on you. We have turned our back on God. And when we turn back to God, God is facing us. And we have that encounter that the prodigal son has. And we've been saying throughout this series that this is the story of the prodigal son in the Old Testament. And the Ninevites turn back to God. And there's forgiveness. Just as Jonah turned back to God from running away to Nineveh and to Tarshish. And when he turns back, God forgives him and calls him again into this journey. And God's call to Nineveh and God's call to us is never his call for punishment and judgment as much as it's a sign of his grace that he's still speaking to us. Turn, and I will forgive you. Now, there will come a time when there will be no longer time to turn. There comes a time where that turning has passed. But that is not this time. This is still the day of salvation. This is still the day of forgiveness. And when they turn towards God, God turns towards them, and he relents. And he accepts their forgiveness. Now, I just tried to paint this. Not everything is perfect in Nineveh. How deep that turn was, I don't know. You can turn away again. Even Jonah is not fully changed, as we'll find out next week, because this is the story of the prodigal son. And in the story of the prodigal son, you have to have the older brother in there somewhere. And the older brother shows up next week. But let's finish off this thing by saying, well, if that was Jonah's response to his second chance, he arose and went and spoke the word. And if it was the response of the Ninevites that they believed God and turned from their sins and hoped for forgiveness, what's our response? And I just think we need to write ourselves into the text. So I took the freedom to do that because, you know, if I can't write the Bible, it would be a bad life. Then the word of the Lord came to Westview the second time. Arise and go to Calgary, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. I think that's the story of the book of Jonah, is that God is calling us to be a witness to our city. And there comes our response to that. You know, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and teach them everything. And what's our response? Well, I think our response is supposed to be Jonah's. We are to arise. We are to get up. God has called us to be those who make a difference in the city. And this is where I started. I think that many of us have got so accustomed to comfort that stepping out of our comfort zone is uncomfortable, and maybe too uncomfortable. And we haven't felt God drawing us in such a deep way that we're willing to step out and make a difference in our world. And God is calling us, are you willing to get up? The second thing is he's calling us to go into the city. And he's not calling us to go into the city, he's calling us to go into this city. And he's calling us to say that, you know, every church is located somewhere, and we're located here. And so we can't be a clone of some other church. We can't be some other model. We are this church in this place at this time. Eugene Peterson said, it's not my task to impose a different way of life on these people in this place, but to work with what's already here. And the thing with that is sometimes we fail to see that where God has called us is specific. And it's not abstract. Wendell Berry, who's a poet and a writer of all kinds of wonderful books, says, you know, the devil's thing is to make everything abstraction. When God calls me to love my neighbor, it's not my neighbor. It's Chris and Alex and Matt and Jen, Andy and Glenda. Not neighbors, they're people. Each one of them unique, each one of them different. There was an old Jewish philosopher in the time of Jesus, or a little after, named Philo. He said, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. I kind of reinterpreted that through Amanda Marshall's song, which apparently came out in 2001, so some of you are too young for it even. But she had a song out that was called Everybody's Got a Story That'll Break Your Heart. So this will just get some of your minds having music running through it here. Here's the way the words go to this one. Who can read the mind of the red-headed girl next door, or the taxi driver who just dropped you off, or the classmate that you ignore? Don't assume everything on the surface is what you see, because that classmate just lost her mother, and that taxi driver's got a PhD. See my eyes, don't see what I see. Touch my tongue, don't know what tastes good to me. It's the human condition that keeps us apart, because everybody's got a story that will break your heart. And I think when God calls us to this city, when he calls us to be Jonah, he doesn't call us to go out and give them five words. He calls us to go out and to go into the city a day's journey, as Jonah did, and to reach out. To reach out to our neighbors with all their strengths and weaknesses. To reach out to that person in the cubicle next to us, or in the school next to us, or in the workplace next to us. That he's calling us to do that. And then thirdly, this idea of calling out. It's not to be the bullhorn man who stands there and preaches, or woman. It's to be the person who reaches out with specific people, with God's specific love for them. I think we took that verse from Matthew and we changed it to say, advertise in the media and find disciples who have been taught to obey some of the things I've commanded to you, and lure them to come in. And what God is saying is, I want you to go and reach out. And we're starting a new season in a couple of weeks. We got the big kickoff, and the theme of the kickoff is journey. The theme of the year is journey. This idea of journeying with God, the idea that what Jonah has done was to go on this journey that was uncomfortable, but God blessed it. And that God is calling us on a journey with him. So if you're just seeking God, maybe it's a journey to him. If you've been with God for a while, maybe it's a journey deeper into him. And maybe if God has been really speaking to you, it's a journey with him, to take him with you wherever it is you go in this city, whatever this city means to you. And it's this idea of the picture of the church. My old theology professor used to tell us, you know, one of the things you want to look for when you're reading something is, what is the image they have in their mind when they're describing something? And the question comes this morning as we gather here as the church, and it's this wonderful Sunday where it feels like everybody's back from the summer. I mean, there's still lots of people away, but it feels like we've seen people we haven't seen for a bit, and it's time of catching up, and I could hear all the noise and the whatever, and, you know, it's a great time to come back. And, you know, it's like we've been called in the Lord's army, and what's the image of the church? Well, it could be the officers' club. And the officers' club is where the officers gather, and it's a very comfortable place, and we swap war stories of all the things that have happened in the past, and someone serves us, you know, usually the junior ranks serve us. And it's an officers' club where it's a place of comfort. And maybe for other people, it's more a convalescent home. It's a place where we've been injured in the wars that we've been a part of. We're people who are hurt and broken and struggling a little bit in our lives, and it's that place where we come and we try to get healed, and
We hope that there's a sermon that will say something, and we hope that there's music and worship that will draw us to God, and we want to just find that healing so we can go back into the world and survive another week. But what if MASH had it right? What if the image of the hospital is to, the image of the church is to be this place on the edge of the battle lines, in the sound of the guns, where we medics rush out to rescue those who they can and bring them back and patch them up as best they can to send them out again? What if the image is sort of like that? That God isn't calling us to a place of ease. And He's not just calling us to a place where He will fix us. But He's calling us to a place where He will give us the joy of His presence. And He'll give us the power of His Spirit to not only heal but equip us. But then He's going to say, arise and go. And go into that great city. And be my presence there. And so this coming 2 weeks from today will be our kickoff. And we're going to put up two billboards. Yep, that's it. That's our advertising. You know, because we're not trying to advertise our way in this. But what this is this is a place for you to invite somebody to come. This is a time where someone that you've invested in, as Tyler was saying during the announcements, this is a time where, you know, maybe neighbors that you've got to know a little bit over the summer because you're outside together. Maybe kids' friends and their parents through sports and other things. Or maybe there's just people that you can invite and say, hey, listen, why don't you come to service? They're going to do their best on this service to make it good. And there's going to be free food afterwards. And it's going to be hot and sunny here, if nowhere else in the city. So I was glad to hear that. And maybe you have friends that aren't ready for church. Well, that's where Alpha comes in. Maybe this is a place where you invite them for a meal. Say, hey, just come once. Just come to the first one. Just come and see what it's like. It's just a place where you can have a meal. You can watch some guy talk a little bit or a bunch of guys talk a little bit on a video about some real stuff about God. And then you can actually talk about it. And there's no off-limits stuff. And we can explore together whether a journey to God is something for you. And maybe in this last couple of weeks of the summer, it's time to begin to build those relationships a little deeper. That we can begin to be those people who are like Jonah, where God said to him, the word of the Lord came to Westview the second time, saying, arise and go to Calgary, the great city, and call out to it the message that I tell you. Wouldn't it be awesome? Someone we invited came, began to get excited about what God is doing in their lives. You know, when I talk to people, I find very few people who are closed to Christianity. You know, they have other ideas. There's many people that have other religions. I understand that too. But if they don't have another religion, they're probably fairly open to Christianity. They're open to exploring. They're open to looking. They're open to see if this is something that makes a difference. And if we can show them a place where God has not called us to just this life of comfort, but He's called us to be a people where we're being equipped to change the world for Him. I think people want to be on that journey. And I think there could be an excitement that God is calling us on this mission to make a difference in His world, that His kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we thank You for this book of Jonah. Thank You that You are reaching out to us and calling us. Father, You called the Ninevites and said, if you would just turn to Me, you would see My love. If you would turn from your sins, you would receive My forgiveness. And if you would allow Me to make you My children, I would do that for you. And Father, I pray for everyone here this morning who's struggling to make that decision, to turn from their old way and turn to you and take a chance with you. And Father, for those of us who have, many of us have turned unconsciously just to the realities of life as we see them, to the busyness of family, to the busyness of work, to some of the lures of comforts and other things. And Father, this morning I pray that you would turn us back to you, that we would be those who would be called to be your people, who make a difference in your world. And Father, I thank you that you rescue us from all kinds of crazy places. And then you call us. You give us that second chance to be those who can make a difference for you in this world. And Father God, I pray, help us this morning to hear your voice call us. Help us to find that place where you're calling us to be your presence. Help us to know those people you're calling us to reach out to, that we can love in your name. And Father, we just pray your blessing as we journey with you together. In Jesus' name, amen.